7 o'clock hour here on this Thursday edition of Chung and Buck in the Mornings. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobs, and Ashley Ryan with you as we roll through. Normally, this is the time in the show, nearly every show during football season, that we chat with Greg Bell. But the guest's so nice that we often have him on twice on Thursdays. You know, you got to float Greg Bell a bone now and then. Does a lot of hard work for us, does a lot of good work for us. And so we've given him his leave of the 7 o'clock segment today so that he could join us in full spirit, full-hearted, at 8 o'clock for the 12th Man Roundtable. So I'm sure we'll be bringing up a lot of topics like Jacob Eason, for example, the Saints and the whatnot. But we'll do that with Greg, Hugh, and Curtis today at 8 o'clock. Talking Jacob Eason with Hugh Millen again, Bucky. Yeah, it's like old times.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say. I mean,
yeah.
You know, obviously the guy brings a talent. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. You saw it. I saw it. Hugh broke it down as to exactly what he brings to the table. And yet, you know, his first sniff in the NFL, he wasn't brought in to be the starter in Indianapolis, but he ended up kind of getting an opportunity early this year because of the Carson Wentz injury, and yet didn't flourish, didn't grow, or didn't obviously wasn't showing them what they needed to see for him to get the opportunities until Carson came back. So he just isn't figuring out a way. I mean, there's the cannon for an arm is one thing, but how accurate are you is obviously key in the NFL, and do you have touch, and do you understand the offenses and whatnot? So he's got some learning to do, but they got to kind of pick him off the junk heap, so to speak. I mean, just get him for free when he was a high draft pick, or at least considered to be a guy that was going to be a really high draft pick at one point in time. So, you know, not a bad move on their part. I don't really know exactly what's all behind the decision, but definitely not a bad move to
Well, it'll be one of the talent. It'll be one of the topics that we discuss here today at 8 o'clock. Also coming up on the show today, Mike Sando joins us at 9:30 this morning. We got Fact or Fiction at 7:35. And be listening for that Kraken sounder to play as people cannot wait to get their hands on our one pair of free tickets for the historic Saturday night tilt between the Kraken and Vancouver out at Climate Pledge Arena. Again, listen for that sounder. Text in within 5 minutes of 49451, your hometown, your first, your last name, and the word Kraken, and you will be eligible to become eligible.
That's
the
it.
Best I can promise you.
Correct.
You know, we're not giving away tickets every hour. We are making you eligible to be eligible for those tickets.
So. You're in to be in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a long waiting line. We had to make you earn this. We had to make you sweat this thing out because this isn't just your run-of-the-mill prize here. This is historic. This is something that you'll remember forever, and you could say I was there. All right, so without Greg Bell here, we got a little time to play here in the sandbox, and the Seahawks obviously off to a 2-4 start, which is bitterly disappointing to all those listening, bitterly disappointing to the franchise itself and everybody within that building out there at Renton. And this seemed like a really crucial year. This seemed like a year where the cards were in the middle of the table for Pete Carroll, John Schneider, Russell Wilson, Jamal Adams, everyone involved. And yet you're off to a 2-4 start, and your best player is not going to be back for at least two more games. Chris Carson also not going to be back for at least two more games. So what on earth are we getting ready to experience here? Locally, sometimes, we're not going to bring this topic up in the roundtable. We won't have time. But it was interesting when we asked our National Football League insider, Will Brinson, yesterday about how the Seahawks are being viewed by himself, those at CBS Sports, and the nation. This was his response to that question.
You don't have your first-round pick?
Like, yep.
You can't just go in the tank and say, Russ, just get healthy for this offseason. Let's try and gear up for another run next year. Or, you know, or even like, hey, you know, this offseason, I mean, you don't have your first-round pick? So the worse you play, the better. Ironically, Geno Smith, the worse he plays, the better it is for the Jets, which is not something that any Jets fan expected to hear for the rest of their lives. past the time he got punched in Jets training camp. So I honestly think it is one of the tougher situations out there from a roster perspective. And when I say appreciating asset, like Jamal Adams is a really good player. And he's young, but he's been paid, and he is still, the cost of acquiring him is still lingering, again, in that first-round pick that we just talked about that's going to the Jets. So I don't view him as necessarily, quote, an appreciating asset. I think there's probably, you know, three or four, you know, ascending, like, again, appreciating assets. Like, Russell Wilson is, you know, a stud quarterback, but he, I mean, clearly he's, and probably has 15 years left, whatever he thinks he's got left. But, he, you know, he's not an appreciating asset because, you know, his contract situation, because of his age, et cetera, et cetera. It feels like it got late quick for the Seahawks in 2021.
Yeah, I like the way that he kind of put that at the end. It got late quick for the Seahawks. Now, the other word, if you're making a word cloud, I think you're going to see appreciative assets is going to be pretty large in that word cloud because he made that an emphasis. And so as you look at the Seahawks team sitting here at 2-4, and who knows where they're going to be when Russell is back and you're back on the football field, at least you're never going to be at full strength, but at least with your franchise quarterback back out on the football field, I mean, there is a chance. They're not even favored Monday, Bucky, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are now off the mat. And you're playing without Russell, there's a chance you could be 2-6. I don't think that's going to be the case, but there's a very good chance that you're going to be 3-5 at that point, coming off the bye and getting ready for the second half of the season. And so when he says things, you got old really quick, I think that there's some validity to that. This could really sneak up on this football team this year, this entire organization. I mean, you're sitting there 3-5, 2-6 in the middle of a season where you pushed all of your cards into the middle of the table and really went for it this year. It's going to cause a lot of soul searching, and it will cause it to occur very quickly if that's the scenario that this team finds itself in after two Sundays from now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this team for the longest time has been in that championship window, right, where that's the only goal. It's not, you know, get the playoffs. It's not, oh, to, you know, contend for the division. It's win the division. Even if you don't win the division, have a good enough record to, because it's a tough division, have a good enough record to get in the playoffs and then see what you can do. Make some noise because you got one of the most winningest quarterbacks that's been in the league as far as his first 10 years. And they got a bunch of pieces around him. And they've filled in the pieces just to kind of keep that ball rolling, so to speak. But I don't know for sure. I mean, when he's talking about, you know, appreciable players, guys that are ascending, guys that are on the way up versus guys that are potentially on their way down, there's definitely a lot more guys that you think are kind of on the back half of their career. I mean, Bobby Wagner's still playing at a high level, but he's not going to get better. He is what he is, and you are going to eventually have – he's not going to be here forever. You know, I guess a guy – you know, Darrell Taylor, I guess, has kind of been a guy that is on his way up. Jordan Brooks is still a guy that, you know, it's unknown exactly what he's going to be, how good he's going to be filling in the role that he's filling in for the first time. You know, DK Metcalf obviously is still a guy that's on the rise, but there's not a ton of guys, and they've missed on a bunch of picks. You know, one is now playing in Cleveland. You know, LJ Collier's a guy that barely sees the field. Rashad Penny's a guy that all of those guys should be in that group of ascending players, where you keep feeling like the future is bright because some of our guys are getting older and then they'll start to peter out and kind of, you know, ride off into the sunset. But look, we got these guys that are filling in, and yet there's this void kind of guys that you expected to, you use draft capital to get, and they're not really doing anything to help you out now. So as those other guys, those older guys that I mentioned are kind of, when they're on their way out or they start to decline as far as production goes, you don't have guys waiting in the wings to step in.
Yeah, I think that's really well put. I do. I think that you covered a lot of good ground there with that commentary. I will say this before I start to side with you. If I'm to play devil's advocate at all to Will Brinson and his take, I'm not so sure that you could look at any roster in the National Football League. And if you're going to eliminate great players who make a lot of money, if they're not considered appreciating assets, which technically they would not be considered appreciating athletes, they're not getting more valuable, you know, the older that they get at the high salary that they're making. I've just pulled up the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the, you know, defending AFC champs, gone to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, and pretty much the darling of the National Football League right now, a team that you certainly circle as one of the organizations that gets it. But, I mean, are you really finding that many appreciating assets even on the Chiefs roster? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is now getting paid, right? I mean, he's getting paid his value. Kelsey can't be on the upside of his career. I mean, Edwards-Helaire, I mean, guy can't stay healthy. And when he is on the football field, I don't see that productive of a player in Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, Frank Clark, no. Hard no. Obviously not in that situation. Tyrann Mathieu, no. Tail end. I mean, those are their top players. So, I mean, I don't know the Chiefs roster as well as I know the Seahawks roster, but every roster out there, Bucky, is going to have young players with upside. The Seahawks have that. And every roster out there is going to have veterans who got paid, and so they're not the valuable assets that they once were because they're actually eating up, chewing up, you know, more of the salary cap than they were before. And so, yeah, he circled DK Metcalf. You circled DK Metcalf. That seems to be the most obvious choice of ascending assets that the Seahawks have on their roster. But I'm not so sure that if you looked at any roster, they're going to have more than two or three of those guys that absolutely looks like ascending assets. You know, I think that what they're going to have are young players with upside and veterans making a lot of money. And then they're going to be two or three guys. So maybe we're one or two guys short of that based on exactly what you said. You have really, really screwed up your first-round draft picks over the course of the last 5 years. I mean, you couldn't have screwed it up more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to have – in order to keep doing what you've been doing – now, the Seahawks have found out a way of kind of getting some guys from other teams, you know. Dwayne Brown's, I suppose, maybe not the right one because you had to pay him when he got here, but still he was a good player that's been a good player for a long time. So they've went out even – outside of the draft and filled their roster with really good, high-quality players that can compete at the highest level and help you be a Super Bowl-contending type team. But you really do need to have the young bucks come in that are playing on the rookie contracts that are contributing and growing and continue to ascend and get better and better, and then all of a sudden when it's their time to thrive and then they're getting paid like a superstar, they're ready to play like a superstar. They've just swung and missed on a bunch of guys to where there's a void there. Like I said, you're not going to be able to keep it going if you keep missing on first round picks and second round picks time after time. I mean, right now Chris Carson has been a guy out of nowhere, right? I mean, the seventh round pick or whatever, and then now runs as hard as anybody in the NFL. Well, now there's a chronic thing that he's been dealing with we didn't know about until now that's causing him to miss more time. The wall is going to come quicker than most would think, probably, for a guy like that. And so you don't have Rashad Penny doing what you spent draft capital on him ready to do. So now you're expecting Alex Collins or somebody like that to step into that role, and you just can't expect that you're always going to hit on finding somebody else to mix in and match where you messed up in the draft.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you know, I think that a lot of teams kind of have the same situation taking place right now in the National Football League, but there's no doubt, you know, that's the crossroads. This is why we covered this very topic earlier this week on Reckless at Breakfast, that the decision to rebuild could come very quickly based on what happens here over the course of the next 2 weeks with Geno Smith at quarterback. I mean, you might have to come to the hard reality that now's the time. You might have to be a seller at the trading deadline, which is something that Mike Sando and we are going to discuss today at 9:30. But you got a 36-year-old left tackle who may be playing his final season. You have Jordan Brooks out of position as a former first-round draft pick. And really, Bucky, the only first-round draft pick of the last 5 years with a chance to live up to the potential of being a first-round draft pick. Yeah. And right now, he doesn't look like one.
Yeah.
But he's out of position. He's not a Will. He's not a Leo. He's not a Sam. He's a Mike. And your Mike, your resident Mike, you know, the guy sitting in the Mike throne happens to be one of the greatest of all time at playing that position. But if you're facing a rebuild potentially in a couple of weeks, if that smacks you in the face, And I'm not saying, I'm not predicting that. I don't know if they're going to be 2-6 going into the trade deadline. I'm not predicting that. I expect this team to beat the Jaguars, and I think they got a good shot of beating the Saints Monday night. But you're not that far away from the cold, hard reality that this season that we went all in on, we are already 3.5 games out of second place in the division, much less first place, and we're midway through the year. And we got a quarterback we're not sure how healthy he is. We've got a safety that we went way too in on. We've got a 36-year-old left tackle and a, you know, a legend at middle linebacker. But is it time to put Jordan Brooks where he needs to belong? Because we need a first-round draft pick to hit. LJ Collier's not going to work out. Rashad Penny's not going to work out. And we're giving up last year's first rounder for Adams, which isn't working out, and next year's first rounder is getting, that's getting more painful by the loss on how high of a pick that's going to end up being for the New York Jets. So, you know, at the risk of sounding too doomy and gloomy, the point remains the same, that Will's got a good point. The national guys have a good point. Where are the appreciating assets on a team that went all in on this year and is sitting now at 2-4 on the season? And what's the counter to that? Is it a full-scale rebuilding effort? And if so, do you wait to the offseason, or do you get a jump on it 2 weeks from now at the trading deadline?
Yeah, and I don't know what they'd do. I mean, like I said yesterday, I think they have a hard time convincing Pete Carroll, who does have a huge say in what they're going to do personnel-wise. I mean, normally that's just the GM's job, but I don't think it's just him. I think that him and John Schneider kind of go in, and they're in on this thing together, and I have a hard time thinking a dude that's at his age is in for some long-term, full-on, tear-down, rebuild-type thing. I mean, yeah. Ultimately, a lot of people say when you have a franchise quarterback, you're really never out of it. That's true. But right now, you don't have your franchise quarterback at least for a couple more weeks. When he does come back, is he going to be ready to rock and roll 100% the way that he normally would? I mean, even him at 80% might be better than Geno at at 100%. But I don't know for sure if he's going to be the same guy. And if you find yourself having dug yourself a hole and being 2-6 or even 3-5 for that matter, if you don't beat the Saints but you do beat the Jaguars, I mean, you're going to still find yourself probably 4 or 5 games out of the division lead, and you're behind other teams just vying for one of those wild card spots. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they think about it, but then again, it's one of those. I would be willing to think that they would probably, with Russell Wilson coming back, think, no, we can't tear this thing down.
But
right,
that's
now.
Just, I mean, it, just, though. Is he coming back? I mean, we already covered this ground before the season even started. If he was squeaky last year, how squeaky is he going to be? How demanding is he going to be if the season this year you take a step back? And so far it's been a step back season. Even with him in the lineup, it's been a step back season for the Seahawks. So maybe you don't have Russell Wilson in the offseason. I think they were open to trading him last year if they got the right deal. A second year after an off season, you know, what on earth is that going to create? Maybe you don't have Russell Wilson in the fold. Maybe he's the key to you retaining some of the assets that you've given up over the last few years. So I'm kind of with that, as long as you have the franchise quarterback, that you're never truly rebuilding. But I don't know, are you really sure that you have the franchise quarterback? Is he all in if you have an even worse year in 2021 than you did the previous year when he was squeaking all off season long?
Yeah. You know? And that's a scary,
I don't know if that's there. I don't know if that's something that they can count on having at this point.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know. I don't think that they can count on it. I mean, plain and simple, Russell Wilson has one goal in mind, right? I mean, it was when he broke into the league, it was to take the league by storm and let everybody know that I'm more than what my measurables say I am. And he's proven that he is exactly that. Well, now all of a sudden he's being paid as such, and that makes it tougher to fill out the rest of the roster in free agency. So then that means you have to hit in the draft, because you're not going to be able to spend as much
money
what you're paying a franchise quarterback. Well, you're not hitting in the draft. So now all of a sudden you're finding yourself with some super talented players surrounded by some fill-in guys that are going to make some things a little bit more difficult. You brought up Patrick Mahomes, and just real quick, Patrick Mahomes, this is his last year of not really killing them with as far as the salary cap goes. The salary cap hit, he's only like $7 million against salary cap. That means you get to fill out the rest of your roster with free agent guys. Starting next year, it's like $35 million salary cap hit. Well, the Seahawks are already in that bucket. They're already in that mode where they're swimming around with a ton of money going towards their quarterback, and that means you have to hit on the draft, and they haven't done it. So now all of a sudden you have yourself a little bit of a void of upcoming players that can fill in when guys get hurt or in years to come as the
All right, I think we just lost Bucky. It's a good thing because we were way over anyway, and it didn't sound like he was going to wrap up anytime soon, Ashley. So we got to go Saints Deeper Dive next. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Yes, all in one out.
It's Chugga Buck Sports Radio 950 KJR. We've got Fact or Fiction coming your way at 7:35 this morning. Ashley's already got the pick for tonight. Going with the Denver Broncos tonight.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Anybody get angry
Come
with
on,
you
Bronx.
Back at the station for that?
No, I don't think so, because you can't get angry when I'm just smarter than you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You got ahead of that one, that's
well,
for sure.
They'd say, well, you also had like the first pick of the week, so we had no chance.
Yeah. Over-under. Did anybody take the over-under on this game tonight?
They did?
Yeah. Jackson did last night. He took the under at 41.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Mm-hmm. I see that now.
That's what I would have done as well, but it doesn't look like I'm going to have that option. So, thanks a lot, Jackson.
Can't wait to hear what you have, though.
Oh, well, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, everybody's sitting on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. Pins and needles.
Exactly. Also, people are waiting for that Kraken sounder. It's going to play at any second.
Yeah.
I know that.
But it could play right now.
That much I know.
But
so
it's
be
not going to.
Listening for the Kraken sounder and your shot at tickets for Saturday. And that's all it is. All you're winning today is a shot at it. So don't want to get your expectations up too high. But Fact or Fiction now comes your way in 3.5 minutes. And so in the meantime, this is where we do Deeper Dive. And I know we don't play the Saints until Monday night, but I'm not going to change it. Let's go Deeper Dive on the New Orleans Saints here, the opponent for Monday Night Football. And I think a different opponent. I mean, when you think of the New Orleans Saints, I don't know about those listening, but I think about Sean Payton. I think about Drew Brees. I think about throwing the ball all over the yard. That's not the Sean Payton Saints anymore. They are not that team. And to Greg's point yesterday that he made with us, Greg Bell, at 7 o'clock during our insider segment, they've been sort of moving in the direction of becoming a run-first team now for the last couple of years. But they've really taken it to an extreme this season with Jameis Winston at quarterback. They are right now, this is the New Orleans Saints, mind you, 28th in the National Football League in total offense, 31st in passing yards per game, and they are dead last in pass attempts per game, and it's not even close. They're averaging just 24 pass attempts per game. In the modern day, in the National Football League, with Sean Payton calling plays, they have only thrown 120 passes this entire year. That's 29 fewer than the second-to-last team in the National Football League in pass attempts, the Chicago Bears, who have a rookie and Andy Dalton, for goodness sake, and they've still thrown the ball 30 times fewer than even the Chicago Bears this year. So this is a different team, and yeah, they've been moving in this direction, but they've never gone this extreme. I mean, they are basically Army. You know, this is like Navy. This is Air Force coming at you on Monday night. Alvin Kamara gets the ball 22 times per game. He is a true number one every down running back. They run the ball with their quarterbacks. Taysom Hill is a factor, but he's certainly not taking away from pass attempts from Jameis Winston. He's only thrown 4 passes all season long. So those people that thought that they were going to maybe share duties, that has not happened this year. Bucky, this just is not the New Orleans Saints that we got accustomed to watching the last few years.
Yeah, well, I mean, Michael Thomas was kind of all-world, you know, wide receiver, and he's been hurt. He had, I think, ankle surgery, and the recovery of that's not coming back. And other than that, they don't really have a whole ton. That Marquez Callaway guy that I saw kind of come out in preseason, he hasn't necessarily flourished during the regular season, but he's kind of their best option outside of Alvin Kamara. And Alvin Kamara is kind of the guy. They hand it off to him or they dump it to him out of the backfield, and that's kind of the only thing they got going, whereas I'm with you. Normally, you think about the Saints, and you just think they throw it all over the yard. They have weapons, you know, galore, and that doesn't really seem to be the case with this offense nowadays.
Not what the Seahawks will be preparing for Monday night against the Saints. You have to prepare to stop the run against them and then dare Jameis Winston to beat you with his arm. Just a completely different team. Never thought I'd see a Saints team like this, but they have been moving this direction. They've just gone to an extreme like never before here in 2021. Let's play some fact or fiction.
It's time for fact.
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
Or fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
In a word, I have been bad at this year.
Hmm. Yeah.
Really, really
less
bad.
Less than your best, is what I would say.
I would not trust me as far as you could throw me.
They could probably throw you pretty far, though.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like Bucky could shot put you.
You haven't seen me in a while.
I could chuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That was a chuckle.
That is just unbelievable. That's good. You guys, here I am, a perfectly good noun, and you just keep using my name like it's a verb.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Boy.
Should I change it? Really instead sense. Of a chuckle, I'm I charlied.
Oh, gosh.
Let me do that instead?
I'm just so angry right now. I don't even know if I'm going to make my pick. All right, so I've got the fact or fiction pick today, and so I'm trying to change my stars. I've gotten one out of my last two.
Okay.
Exactly, 500.
Moving in the right direction at all. So I'm going to go to the college this weekend. Oh, I didn't even check to see if this game was picked by somebody else.
Well, we're going
to
find out right now.
Before I do, did Oklahoma State, Iowa State get picked by anybody else?
No.
It did not.
No.
Okay, nope, you are safe.
All right. Good. At least I won't violate station rules here today. I am going to go with Oklahoma State on Saturday. They are undefeated. They are coming off from a big win against the Texas Longhorns. And they are getting on the road 7 points from Iowa State. Getting 7 points. And I like Iowa State, really liked them before the season started. But this, Vegas is treating this like it's a trap game. You don't suffer from a trap game in college football when you're riding an undefeated season. You know, when you don't have any margin for error, and you're facing a team that was ranked in the top 10 before the season started. There's no Iowa State catching Oklahoma State off guard this Saturday. And the Cowboys are 6-0 overall this year. They've won 4 straight against the spread and are 2-0 this year when they have been deemed an underdog, when they are getting points, and they'll be getting points for the third time in 7 games. So give me the mullet and his Cowboys getting 7 points at Iowa State on Saturday. That is my pick for fact or fiction.
If the listeners were smart, they would type fiction. But that's just because of what's going on. I actually like the pick again. But then again, if I'm doubling down on your pick, even more of a reason to probably type fiction.
It's probably going
to
blow up in everyone's face at that point.
That's fair. Yeah. I'll accept that. So there you go. If you agree with me, text fact to 49451. If you disagree with me, text fiction to 49451. And if you're right, you'll get your name entered into a weekly drawing for a $1,000 cash prize posted by the Emerald Queen Casino, our friends, the entertainment capital of the Northwest, and owners of a brand spanking new building there in Tacoma off the I-5. If you disagree with me, text fiction to 49451. As I mentioned, same results. You'll get entered into that drawing. If you get enough of these suckers right throughout the course of the year, $10,000 could be yours thanks to the EQC. So once again, I am taking Oklahoma State to not lose by more than 7 points. So they're getting 7 points from Iowa State at Iowa State. If you agree, fact to 49451. If you disagree, fiction to 49451. Coming up next here on our program, it's the Quattro, Sports Radio 950 KJ.
And Pfizer.
Well, needless to say, there's a fevered anticipation for today's 12-man roundtable. You know, Hugh Millen talking Jacob Eason again. From a Seattle perspective, Greg Bell. We didn't get a chance to chat with Greg Bell. I want to know from Greg Bell, why all of this interest in quarterbacks? Curtis Crabtree, our Seahawks reporter here at Sports Radio 950 KJR. Got to find out about his golf game. Obviously, a lot of things on the table, and it's a good thing we have a round table to sort it all out. So the 12th man round table comes your way in about 12 and a half minutes from now to start the 8 o'clock hour, and will last the entire hour, so plenty of time to talk Seahawks and Saints coming up at 8 o'clock. It means we bump the Ocho, though. And I love the Ocho. I live for the Ocho every day here on Chuck and Buck. And so we, in exchange, do a quick little version of it called the Quattro. We get in the four top stories of the day before we start the 12th man roundtable. And we will start with Jacob Eason, who the Seahawks signed. They claimed off waivers from the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. He's coming back to Washington.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Yeah, Eason, there's just like a magnet there, Bucky. You know, he leaves after high school, comes back. Leaves after college, comes back. I think Jacob Eason just secretly is born to be playing football in Washington. That's all.
Yeah, well, I mean, the left coast is the best coast. You go to Georgia, and Georgia, great people. I know I have a lot of friends there, but it's not the left coast. So
not a lot of tourists
comes
there.
Back. Indianapolis, I played in Indy. Wonderful, wonderful little town.
Hey,
but the Midwest, it's not for everybody. Come back home. And so, he's back home. Marysville, Lake Stevens product. I guess he's my nephew-in-law. He's good friends with Skinny, he calls him. That was his nickname growing up, was Skinny. So I'm sure everybody around here is pretty happy to see him back. Hopefully he can pan out.
Maybe not everybody. I don't know if the Cougs fan thinks that much of Jacob Eason. I'm not even really sure a lot of Husky fans. He didn't live up to the hype and the expectations, but he has got all-world talent. So we'll see if this is a valuable pickup. We will discuss it here at 8 o'clock with our guys, our Knights of the Round Table. Nick Rolovich continues to be the story of the week. And yesterday, after being let go by Washington State for his refusal to get the vaccine as mandated by state ordinance, Nick Rolovich decided in return to sue the Cougars athletic department. And the lawsuit is in.
Well, fine. Go ahead and sue me.
I will. I'll sue you in England. You are so sued, kid.
Well, go on then. Sue me.
We're going to.
Okay, good. Do it. I'm not scared of you. Sue me.
Yeah, I think I screwed up that entire story and some verbiage. Let's just put it this way. Nick Rolovich is not at Washington State anymore because he refused to get the vaccine, and he's suing the entire university. So there you go. There's the clarification there, Bucky.
Yeah, and I think this is what most people probably saw coming, right? I mean, if he wasn't going to bend, he doesn't believe in getting the vaccine, doesn't want to do it for whatever reason, and he didn't get any exemptions, then, you know, the mandate says then you're gone. And so he's gone. He seems to think that there was vindictive ways by Chung and the rest of the athletic department, and so, yeah, he's going after it. He's not going to just let that $3 million fly out the door without fighting for it. I don't know if he has a chance. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so I have no idea if he has a chance to leg to stand on with the whole thing. But ugly situation, unfortunate for those kids, because I know a lot of the I know a couple guys that are playing over there for him, and they liked him, and they liked what he was bringing, and the team was playing good football on a 3-game win streak. So this is one. We saw the Raiders bounce back after the ugly thing with John Gruden and whoop up on my Broncos. College kids, I think, are a little more susceptible to have something like this really affect the way that they go out on the field. Now, they could go out and be inspired, or they could go out and really lay an egg. But it's unfortunate for the kids left behind, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, raise your hand if you don't have a lawsuit that you could file since the pandemic started in the last couple of years.
Yeah, right?
I could file like 20 of them, I think. I mean, not for $3 million salary, I don't know what they're going to do with all the lawsuits that are stacking up over the course of the last couple of years. I have a feeling that most of them are going to be thrown out, but, you know, maybe this is one that will stick. We shall see. But Nick Rolovich obviously out, and that story continues to be a monster, not just here locally, but nationally, that we're contending with. The Huskies get ready for Friday Night Football against the lowly Arizona Wildcats, but Tony Castricone was on with us yesterday, and he says, don't get it twisted. This team actually plays really good defense.
The reason they're 0-6 is because of their offense, not because of their defense. Their defense is the best it's been in a decade. And it's only giving up about, 350 yards a game, which ranks like 52nd in the country. But historically, their defense has been in the 100s ranking wise. And so I think that if Husky fans are expecting Washington to just hang 50 on them, it's not a realistic expectation. This is in Arkansas State. This is a team that's very good defensively. But I do worry a little bit. I think this is going to be a tough game.
I don't know. I hope it's not a tough game because it's been, tough enough for Jimmy Lake this year. I think he'd like to have a press conference once this year, Bucky, where he's talking about good things for the program. Every single one of them is trying to explain why we're not playing up to our capability.
Yeah, and I mean, even just a squeak out win, obviously win or lose, that's what you want, right? And I mean, it doesn't really matter how you win, but ultimately against a team like Arizona that has just been bad. I mean, they've gotten boat raced by some other bad teams, bottom of the barrel teams in the Pac-12. And so if you go out there and you just barely, squeak by a team like this, is one where I think you need to be able to implement whatever it is your philosophy is, whatever it is your identity is, and go out, pound the ball, whatever it is you think you need to do. This is a team that you need to do it and get right for the second half of the season.
Yeah, invest in canned goods. Make sure you're taking a lot of cans of whoop-ass down to Tucson with you. We got a canned food drive, and plenty of whoop-ass is available. finally, the Kraken getting ready for their franchise opener. Here we go.
Tickets happens now. Text Kraken, your first and last name and hometown, to 49451, and you could win your way to Saturday's home opener from your home for the Kraken. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
There you go. See how we did that? We worked it into content.
Wow. We're so smart.
You guys are pros.
Whatever. You never know what we're going to play that sounder. Sometimes we'll play in the middle of a commercial break. Sometimes we'll play. We might play it in the middle of Hugh Millen's commentary.
Ooh,
who knows?
That would really throw him off. I kind of want to do that.
It really would. we just used it as part of the Quattro. So there you go. If you didn't hear the rules, you weren't paying attention, text 49451. You got 5 minutes to do so. First name, last name, hometown, and the word Kraken, and you will be eligible to qualify for the Kraken tickets that we'll be giving away later on today to Saturday's franchise home opener. Exciting stuff. The biggest ticket in the world right now. Coming up next, 12th Man Roundtable, Sports Radio 950 KJR.